For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is how freedom fell. Our world ended. And things never got better. Tyrants took it all away. And now tyranny is here to stay.
Well, that sounds absolutely bleak, but maybe something that a lot of us are looking to the future and going, what is at stake in this upcoming election? And what are the people in the far left who have really gotten a grasp over the Democratic Party? What are they trying to do? What is the end game here? Well, we bring our friend Brandon Strzok onto the show with us, the founder of the Walkaway Movement and the feature of this this great video that you can see on his Twitter timeline. I'm going to tweet it out on mine at Annie Fry Show as well. Brandon, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here with us today.
Always good to be here with you.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Tell us about this video that's about, I mean, the subject of it is tyranny. That's a big word, and it's one that I think we're a little closer to now than maybe we have been in our lifetimes.
Yeah. Well, so basically, Walkaway Campaign, we just put out this 5-minute, kind of like a little 5-minute short film. And it's a little bit concept-y, I'll tell you that. But it's essentially kind of what it is almost like the backstory, I guess I would say, is that a future civilization sort of finds this educational, it's an educational video in the style of a 1950s educational film, teaching a future civilization how America as we know it today fell. So it's in kind of a dystopian future. America has fallen because the Democrats were reelected in the 2024 election. And basically, the communist plan to destroy America ends up being successful. And so in this film, which is 5 minutes long, there's four steps that we talk about how tyrants destroy free nations. And we kind of go through it. But again, it's kind of in this old timey black and white 1950s educational film. Mm-hmm. But we use some really kind of cool modern imagery of, different, whether it's people in the media, social media, tech giants, Democrat Party, politicians, all different kind of people who contributed to the impending downfall of America. And yeah. I know basically we just tried to do something that was kind of visually and interesting and cool to show people what can happen if we don't get it right in the next month.
Yeah, I think listening to the weird thing about the Kamala Harris part of this whole process is not that she's so radically far left that what she is proposing to the American people is like so scary that you'd want to vote against it. It's that she's not even being pressed to tell us what she stands for. We got to see Bret Baier interview her in a shortened interview because they showed up 17 minutes late and then were apparently like trying to land the plane saying end the interview at the end. And so he didn't get the full 30 minutes he was originally promised. But that was one of the first times I've seen anyone not let her just spew talking points and then move on to the next subject. She doesn't even have to tell the American people what she would do with the power that she would be afforded should be elected the president of the United States. And all we're supposed to know about Donald Trump is orange man, bad, scary dude. Don't let him get into office. Like the lack of substance here is actually what becomes the most frightening to me.
Well, 100%. And she doesn't it doesn't even have to be about her. I mean, all it has to be about, look at Biden. I mean, literally, this is a man who at this point is he's not even really aware of where he is or what he's doing, which is another reason why he became a perfect candidate, I think, for the people who are actually pulling the strings. But it's about putting some sort of complicit figurehead into that position who is controllable. And Kamala Harris is very controllable because she's not very knowledgeable. And Biden was very controllable because, first of all, I think he's morally compromised. But second of all, he's also cognitively compromised. And that made him a very malleable, controllable figure. Part of the process of getting us to where we are today is convincing the populace that the alternative, which is to say...
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Donald Trump is absolutely unacceptable, absolutely not a viable alternative. So if you convince people that it's a question of voting for Hitler or voting for anybody else, most people who believe that that's the scenario are going to say, well, anything is better than Hitler.
Right.
So, yeah, she's not great. She's stupid. She's unprepared. She's whatever. But she's not Hitler. So we're going to vote for her. And then once they vote for her, and if enough people vote for her, or if enough votes are tabulated in her favor, then she's controlled by whomever is really pulling the strings.
Yeah, it's completely true. We're speaking with Brandon Strock, who's the founder of the Walk Away Movement, which I think is really important to highlight here, Brandon, because you were doing this before. There is a movement out there right now that is following in your footsteps. You were a very passionate voter, very heartbroken when Hillary Clinton lost in 2016, and you've told your story, and so many people have seen your story, and I bet you there's so many people who aren't even willing to publicly admit that your story is their story right now. But you've made it okay for people to say, this Democrat Party is either A, not what I thought it was, or B, they've left me and they're not for me anymore. And people are walking away. Why do you think that that's really kind of picked up some momentum maybe in the last 6 months, year or so, of what we've seen from the Democrats who do have power right now? Kamala Harris is in office in right now in an administration.
Well, first of all, thank you for bringing that up, because it's something I've been talking about a lot recently. You know, people are asking me, what do you see in the last, 6 months or the last year in terms of shift and momentum within the walkaway movement? And the first and most notable thing, I think, is the number of high profile people who are now publicly talking about walking away. And second of all, the number of people in public office, from all the way from local state legislatures, and local offices, all the way up to the federal government. I mean, if you look around California, state Senate Gloria Romero, she very publicly walked away. Texas Congressperson Sean Thierry, Georgia State Rep Misha Maynor, all the way up to RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and so many other people are very publicly walking away. And so my answer to why is this happening so much now is that I truly believe, and not to, pat ourselves on the back.
Oh, no,
too much,
pat away.
I'm going to, because what I believe happened is that 6.5 years ago, when I started Walkaway, first of all, for anyone who doesn't know, the heart and soul of Walkaway, what we do is our testimonial campaign. I launched a video 6.5 years ago talking about all the reasons I was walking away, and created a social media group encouraging other people to join, share their stories. And over 2.5 years, we grew to 500,000 people and literally tens of thousands of videos and written testimonials of people talking about why they're walking away from the Democrat Party. And so I believe what Walkaway has done is created an atmosphere where it's now not only safe and supported and kind of normalized to share your story about walking away, but I would actually argue it's become kind of cool.
Yeah.
To talk, to say, hey, I'm leaving the party. I'm not doing this anymore. I mean, 6.5 years ago, when I told my walkaway story, I was brutalized for what I did. And I mean, to be honest with you, I continue to be brutalized. I in the last 4 years, I've been raided by the federal government. I was put in jail. I was falsely accused of crimes I didn't commit. They used those false accusations to ban me on social media, ban me from banks, payment processors. I mean, I can't even list all the ways that my life has been turned upside down. But they did that to me for being kind of a front runner in this movement of encouraging people to speak up and be public about leaving the Democratic Party. Now everybody's doing it, and that's great. Like, it's worth it to me to have gone through what I went through if we're now at a point where it's becoming almost normal for people to say, I'm done with this party.
Yeah.
And and not have to suffer the same consequences I did.
Completely. And, you know, I think that usually what's trendy is usually what's counterculture. And you were counterculture. You were one of the initial people to be able to go out and say that you were really, you were for Hillary. You were brokenhearted when she lost the race. You know, you've referred to yourself in your community as a gay man about being having to walk away from the culture that exists around it and to really invest in yourself by saying, no, the Democrat Party isn't for me. And to even there's one thing to like walk away from the Democrat Party, but it's another thing to walk into the Republican Party as it looks right now, because there is a little bit of a purgatory that exists in between. You can call yourself libertarian or independent or whatever. Donald Trump has come on the scene and really reformed what the Republican Party looks like, so much that the Liz Cheney's, Adam Kinzinger's of the world, several people who were really shoved into Donald Trump's early administration by the bureaucracy, they've all said that the Republican Party isn't for them. And I'm like, what an awesome swap for the Republicans. The people who we are purging and the people who we are annexing, win-win for the people on the right side of the aisle. And you were very much so one of the leaders of that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You know, I think certainly I can't underestimate the impact that Donald Trump... I really, truly believe that if Hillary Clinton had won the 2016 election, that I would still be a liberal. I think I would still be a Democrat. And I would still be believing every lie the left-wing media tells. Mm. It's hard to even imagine, you know, where we would be today if that had been the scenario. But, you know, Donald Trump's election caused such a disruption and an upset in my life personally, not to mention the lives of, you know, tens of millions of people in this country, many of whom are still believing what the left-wing media is saying. But it was that disruption that got me asking questions and got me investigating and searching for answers. And that investigation is what showed me. I mean, it was like the greatest murder mystery of all time, you know, because it was like, you know, reading a murder mystery and discovering at the end that you're the killer. Like, oh, my God, you know, because I was just like, oh, my God, it's not the problem is me. The yeah. problem is. What I was believing, what I was listening to, and you know, so yeah, I can't overestimate enough the impact that Donald Trump I think mm-hmm. had on me waking up and walking away, and that began the catalyst of me creating this movement, and the impact that it's had on so many people. Because the one commonality in almost every walkaway story is a feeling of betrayal. Ugh. No matter what it was exactly, the specific incident that led people to have their eyes open. The common thread in every walkaway story is that there's a realization we've been lied to and betrayed. And that was usually by the Democrats or the media or, you know, someone on the left or something on the left that suddenly a light went on. It was like, ah, I've been betrayed. Mm.
Brandon Strzok with us right now. Before we let you go, I'm wondering, I don't want to count my chickens. The polls look like they favor Donald Trump, but like you said, I think you said it like, we'll wait to see how the votes are tabulated. I think you very carefully said earlier. If you have a Donald Trump 2016 victory and then a Joe Biden 2020 victory, and then people get to immediately see, I mean, there's going to be a dramatic difference should he win this election. People are going to quickly see the difference in a way that in my lifetime, I was born in 1984, in my lifetime, I haven't seen, you know, back-to-back contrast in such a different way of governing between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. That should Donald Trump win this next election, you know, the push that people might need to walk away from the Democrat Party to see, like, you know what, maybe it is the party, just like you said, maybe I have been lied to have their eyes wide open, that a Donald Trump victory will really be able to allow the Republicans to just simply point to the scoreboard to say, see, we've been telling you, welcome to the good side, come on over, the water's fine.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, my personal journey was that I walked away from the Democratic Party and I became a Republican, a MAGA or America First Republican behind Donald Trump. I got to be honest with you. I'm not like the hugest fan of the Republican Party, although I am a registered Republican.
Where's your concerns? What, because that I think that's natural to to leave one party and to come into another one and not be like, everything they say is fine or do or
well,
how they
I kinda,
do it.
Actually, I did kind of feel that way at first. I mean, I was super stoked to be a Republican for the first couple of years. But then I started to see what I feel like are just these massive shortcomings, which I mean, we would probably need another 2 hours to get into all of it. But in a nutshell, I can tell you, you know, I'm very bothered by the fact that the Republicans, I think, are they're weak. They're impotent. They're, you know, to a certain degree, disloyal. They're, you know, I can tell you that I spent 2.5 years traveling the country, going into college campuses, minority communities, the, you know, low income black neighborhoods, Hispanic neighborhoods, doing walkaway town halls, events, debates. I mean, we talked to thousands and thousands of people all over this country. And I would say doing the work that the Republican Party should have always been doing,
yes,
but didn't do, and still isn't doing. And then when I did what I did so well and so effectively that the full might of the federal government under the Democrats decided to try to stomp me out and destroy my life, the Republican Party that I sacrificed myself for in service was kind of like, Brandon who? Brandon what? I don't know what you're talking about. You know, and that's egregious to me. I mean, that turns my stomach. So I have a real problem with that. And look, we just have to get through this election, but there needs to be some really honest conversations after this election about what this party stands for and if they stand for people and values for the people who are being effective activists and voices in their movement. We need to have a lot of conversations because, you know, I learned some crushingly difficult lessons in the last 3 years, and that can't be allowed to stand. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because you mentioned pointing to a scoreboard if Donald Trump wins. No, I am not going to stand behind a party that puffs out its chest and points at a scoreboard if we have a victory, because frankly, they didn't really do the work to if Donald Trump wins. It will not be because of the work of the Republican Party. The Republican Party should count themselves lucky if Donald Trump wins, and they should not be boasting about a scoreboard because they didn't earn the points on that scoreboard.
The grassroots that have gotten the successes that we have seen so far and the ability to bring Donald Trump back onto the scene so that he can have the possibility of a second term, the grassroots are what is making this possible. And to your point, exactly, we've been saying this a lot. We're in St. Louis, Missouri. So we know, I live in Illinois across the river, blue state, Missouri, red state, but St. Louis, blue city. And we just see the just despair that exists all around us because of the Democrat policies that take place. And it's like, there is something good for Republicans to invest in time here to go and get people to participate in the system. And if the party doesn't want to do it, if the party doesn't want to, on a national level, make the effort, and grassroots do, and they actually do pull people into considering something different for the first time, they better get seats at the table for the new Republican Party that hopefully we will be ushering in November 5th of 2024, because you are exactly right. People like you, other people in the movement who have been very active in talking to those same areas that you have. I want to see you get your due in this, because I know that you have suffered at the hands of the success you've had. And that's why we want to keep having you on the show here, Brandon. We appreciate your voice. We want to make sure people still hear it.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. And I mean, it's look, if we do see a victory next month, and I certainly hope that we do, you know, walkaway had a huge part in that. Donald Trump's not going to be reelected without the help of, I'd say, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people who left the left and decided to come over to our tent and vote for him. And, you know, I think it's not about, you know, taking credit or patting someone on the back, but I think it's about acknowledging that's really hard work and it comes with a lot of sacrifices. And I think that when somebody does that work well and effectively to the point where they're brutally targeted by the other side, you know, we're supposed to be a unit, right? I mean, we're supposed to be an
army.
That's
how the left usually operates, for sure.
Yeah. And for a side of the aisle that, you know, cares so much about the military and things like that, it's like, well, let's not leave our men behind, right? Let's operate more as a unit and as a team and not turn our backs on each other when we're, you know, getting the hell kicked out of by ourselves by the left.
Yeah. I think you're spot on. And the walkaway movement has been wonderful. I want to encourage people to go to your Twitter account, your ex account at Brandon Strug, and check out that video, because it's a unique way of telling a futuristic kind of story that we might be living in right now to make sure something like that never actually has to occur. And sometimes you see those things and you go, okay, now I see where we're going with this. We got to stop it from happening. And tyranny is at our doorstep. We need to be sure that it does not enter in. Brandon, thank you for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. Great to speak to you, too. And if I could say very quickly, too, I'd also, in addition to going to my ex, I'd encourage people to go to the Walkaway Campaign YouTube channel. Please subscribe to it. And you can also find the video there. Walkaway Campaign YouTube channel. Please subscribe.
We will be sure to share that on our socials as well. Sounds great, Brandon. Thank you so much. It's great to have you here.
You too. Thanks.
Brandon Strzok, the founder of Walkaway, has got quite a story, quite a journey from voting for Hillary Clinton in 2016, suffering that loss, and then walking away from the party January 6th and everything that they have done, that they did to him in the wake of that. And it's just, it's not something that you would wish on anybody. We always appreciate when he comes on with us. Quick break. When we come back, more on the Fry Show YouTube live chat poll, we want you to check out and vote in. Did Brett Baier conduct a fair interview? Yes or no? Join us on our Annie Fry YouTube channel to vote in the live chat there, and go subscribe to the Walkaway Campaign YouTube while you're on the app. We'll be right back.
Hold on so nervously to me and my dream.
This is the...
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.